5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm Brian Wilson alongside Larry O'Connor.
Yesterday, a D.C. council committee passed by a 3-2 vote a measure that would be the physician-assisted suicide law here in the nation's capital. They call it the Death with Dignity Act, and joining us right now is a spokesperson for an advocacy group on behalf of that bill. It's called Compassion and Choices, and his name is Sean Crowley. Thanks for joining us, Mr. Crowley.
Thank you very much for having me.
You know, we have a little bit of data out of Oregon's experiment with this physician-assisted suicide policy, and I was struck by the top five reasons physicians are prescribing this life-ending prescription. It doesn't involve pain. It doesn't involve suffering. The reasons are things like, I feel like I'm a burden, or lost ability to move one's bowels, or loss of mobility. You can understand why people in the disability community hear that and get very concerned that there's some suggestion that that life, a life that requires some assistance, is in some way less equal or undignified, wouldn't you?
Well, what's interesting is, first of all, if you look at polling on medical aid and dying, people with disabilities support it at the same level as the general population. In fact, our political director has had MS for 15 years, and you cannot qualify for medical aid in dying unless you have an incurable terminal condition. So that's the bottom line. And the other thing I should note is the term physician-assisted suicide is really not the right term. And the reason it isn't is because there's a huge difference both legally and medically from somebody who is depressed, not terminally ill, and wants to take their life prematurely versus somebody who's already dying, wants to live, but simply does not want to suffer at the end of life. And suffering depends on the person. Some people don't want to live if they're going to have a quality of life that is terrible. And oftentimes, if you look at those stats that you cited, pain is also one of those things. And if you add up the numbers, it's over 100% because people cite multiple reasons for supporting wanting to have this option.
Just so I can have the appropriate terminology then, if physician-assisted suicide is not appropriate, what is appropriate?
Medical aid in dying is the more neutral term. Death with dignity, we understand that some people...
Medical aid in dying. So basically, you're trying to remove the doctor out of the equation. Medical aid in dying is...
That's correct. And the reason we do is because there's a huge difference between medical aid in dying, which requires the person to self-administer the medication, by the way, which ensures that they won't be coerced or abused. And in fact, it's a Class A felony if that happens in the law, but it's never happened in Oregon to our knowledge. There have been a few investigations, but no prosecution. So it's really the right term. It's the term you'll see in the literature now about it.
Well, and I don't want to get off on a sort of a tangent here because I actually find a lot of what you say to personally to me makes a lot of sense. Don't get me wrong, but when you start playing, you know, with the words that you use to describe it, I think you lose your credibility. It is a doctor involved in end of life decisions, and you could not do this without the assistance of a doctor.
Well, that's correct. I'm not going to argue with you on that point, but saying physician aid in dying, for example, even that small change implies the physician takes a more active role than they actually do, more akin to euthanasia, which is more of the European model, which we don't support, by the way, because that takes away the patient's control. And what's interesting, you mentioned the Oregon numbers. Obviously, you've read them, and you'll find that only about two-thirds of the people who get the medication actually take it. But they report getting great comfort, and so their families, in obtaining the medication, because that way they know that they won't have to suffer at the end, and some don't suffer, and they don't take the medication, which is another proof point that they're not suicidal by nature.
Are there some conditions that can be... let me rephrase it. You talk about suffering, and obviously when people hear the word suffering, they think of physical pain. Are you just talking about physical pain, though? Because for the most part, our incredible medical advances now have reached a point where there are very, very few physical conditions that one has that cannot be, the pain, whatever pain is associated with, it cannot be alleviated with medications.
Well, it depends on the individual patient. And for example, some people are morphine intolerant. And in a lot of ways, despite the doubling of hospice and palliative care over the last decade, we still don't really have a great handle on some pain. Some pain is intractable. Think of it this way. What was the premier pain relief drug in World War I? It was morphine, the same drug we use today. So it just goes to show you that...
Okay, so let me just ask you then, if this bill isolated, the reason for prescribing this would be incurable pain. You know, you say some people are morphine intolerant. Some people, you know, do not respond. Okay, so let's just address those some people. If everyone else who is feeling pain can be alleviated their suffering because of with morphine or with some sort of other medication, would that be appropriate? And then only those few people who don't respond to morphine, then they can take this drastic step.
Well, suffering, as I said, depends on the individual, and some people want to live life to the fullest, and when they can't live life even close to what they were like before, when they, you know, they can't function, they don't, their body doesn't function anymore, they think they should have the opportunity to exit gracefully from this earth. And I don't think we should be telling people, I don't think the government should be getting involved in these kinds of very private family decisions. And that's our position, and that's the position of most Americans if you look at the polling across the political spectrum.
What do you say to those who would argue, okay, well, now you have people playing the role of God and deciding when it's time?
Well, I think you could make the alternative argument that we're playing God in the medical world to some extent by prolonging the dying process, not extending life. Look, the point is, nobody has to participate in this law. It's an option for the terminally ill person. It's an option for doctors. It's an option for pharmacists. It's an option for hospice workers. And most people that are access medical aid in dying are in hospice. So it's not like everybody has to do this, and some people will never do it. We understand that. And the beauty of these laws is that it actually spurs earlier conversations about end-of-life care, increases the utilization of hospice and palliative care. And so that's a good thing. That's something that people who never utilize this option benefit from.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us, Sean Crowley, Compassion and Choices. And it's time for you to chime in now, 888-630-9625. Where do you stand on this? Medical-assisted suicide, is that the appropriate terminology? Mm-hmm. Or so-called death with dignity. Is this the direction that we should go? 888-630-WMAL. It's 7:15.